Again, let me just welcome you, and I want you to understand what we're doing. We're in a series of messages that I'm doing that I've entitled Foundations. And the reason we entitled it that way is because I just want to talk to you about bedrock Bible truths that are essential if I'm a real follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, what does it mean to say that I am a Christian? It's way more than just a title. It's way more than just claiming something. So what is the real evidence that I'm truly born again? Because all the time, you hear people say, well, I hope that when I die, I'll go to heaven. I hope that I will. I'm not really sure, but I hope that I will. Or you see people who are saying that, you know, I'm a Christian, but yet when you look at their life, you're like, really? Wow. Is that what it means? And I mean, you're not trying to be judgmental. It's just you see some stuff that just doesn't stack up, you know, and what's that? You know, what does it mean to be a Christian? Does it mean that, you know, at some point in your life, you walked an aisle somewhere and you took a preacher's hand and, you know, you said, I want Christ in my life, or you've gone in the baptismal waters, which we're going to do at the end of our service today. We've got one that wants to be baptized. You know, what does it mean to really be born again? And I don't know that I've ever preached a message on the doctrine of deliverance. And it is a huge Bible truth that actually we talk about, but we just don't say it. And it is something that is neglected in the church. And I want you to look, if you look at your life point outline, I want you to see why it is important. Here's the reality. Because in the Church of Jesus Christ in America is a widespread lack of discernment regarding who is a Christian. There's just a lack of discernment about what does it really mean to be born again? How do you really know? And here's how you know, because I want you to look at our text, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Let me just read that. Remember, it's at the top of your life point outline, or if you've got a copy of God's Word. The Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, the Son in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so you notice he says, the Father has delivered us out of the power of darkness and transferred us, conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. And so what he's talking about is salvation. And so he brings up this whole thing about deliverance, which is why I said what I did, about this whole thing about a doctrine of deliverance. Now, one of the things, as I said, that people struggle with, I get asked all the time, how do you know that you're born again? How do you know, Pastor, that you're going to go to heaven when you die? How do you know that? Well, here's what I want you to understand. It is not for Baptists to determine who is a true Christian. I mean, who am I to say I am the source of truth and I know what a real Christian is? It's not for Baptists to say that. It's not for Presbyterians or Methodists or Church of Christ or Pentecostals. There's no denomination that is like the repository of truth. There's no pastor. There's no teacher. I'm not the source of truth. You're not the source of truth. But one thing we do agree on is that there is a source of truth. Would you agree with that? There is a source. And I want you to look at the reality in our outline. We are at odds with our culture to believe that there is objective truth. Now, I'm talking about objective truth, not subjective. Subjective truth is when somebody says, well, this is what I feel a Christian is. This is what I feel is right. This is the way I think things ought to be. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I feel. It's about what is. And as followers of the Lord Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, here's what I want you to understand. As a true follower of Christ, you are held by a standard of right and wrong. And it's called God's Word. It's called the Bible. And the Bible tells any society, it tells any people, it tells any nation how they're supposed to live. It tells a nation what their laws should be. It is the basis of laws. It's how America was founded. You go to Washington and you see all these writings of biblical scripture chiseled into the granite. So much is said about the Bible and about following after the Lord. It's at the core of our foundation, and it has gotten us to where we are today. Why? Because the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." There is a blessing that comes there. Now, I want you to look at the insight in your outline. The biggest problem in American culture today in the 21st century is the Bible. That's the reason why there's so much discord in our nation. It is because of the move away from the Bible being at the core of what we hold to as the guiding principle of our life. And the more we get away from that, there's nothing upon which all of us can agree anymore. And that's what's causing the problems. When you turn away from the Bible, Jesus just becomes a piece of clay. And you can make Jesus however you want to make him, because you're no longer going by the Bible. You get away from the Word, and truth is just like a clay toy. You make truth to be whatever you want to be. Well, this is what I feel. Well, this is what I think. Well, this is the way that I see things. And that's what we've got. We've got all these people saying, I'm just as right as you are. That's the reason why we argue in America about homosexuality. That's why we argue about abortion. It's why we argue about transgenderism. Why is all the argument? It's because of the Bible. That's the reason why. And when you come to Holy Scripture, the reality is the very fact that I believe that there is such a thing as objective truth puts me at odds with my culture. It puts me at odds at times with people in my own church. It puts me at odds, I'm finding on Facebook, with some of my old classmates from high school. I'm at odds with them. We're not on the same page any longer. And the main reason is because when I was in high school, I was as lost as a ball in tall grass. And the way I thought and looked at things is totally different from the way I do today. And it's simply because I believe in objective truth. I think that there is truth. There is right and there is wrong. And it's not up for grabs. It is one way. It's like 2 + 2 is 4 all the way around the world. It doesn't change. And truth is truth is truth. If it's new, it's not true. Truth has always been here. There is objective truth. So let me break this down for you this morning, all right? Let me give you 2 or 3 thoughts this morning so that we can understand. Because here's the thing. What I want to talk about is, what is a true Christian? What does it mean to be born again and to know that you are born again? All right, number one in your outline, deliverance is a definition of what it means to be a Christian. One of the things that you'll find when you begin to just read through the Word, and we're reading through the Word this year. Remember, we've got Bibles for sale at a reduced rate at our information table. You can get one. We're using Bibles that take us through the Bible chronologically so that you can just read it as things happened in Scripture. It's a great way to read the Word. And why are we doing that? Because I want you to be able to just get a picture of biblical truth, that you get it and it just stays inside of you. And one of the things that you'll find is this. Deliverance is a dominant theme, particularly in Old Testament Scripture. Listen to Psalm 68, verse 20. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. And what does that mean? It just simply means that God, by his very nature, is a deliverer for people. When I relate to God, one of the things I understand about him is that God delivers. And he delivers me. If I'm in a relationship with him, if you have a relationship with God, let me tell you what's true about you. You have been delivered. That is what it means. God is the deliverer. Men are the deliverees. And God has delivered us from some kind of danger that we could not extricate ourselves from on our own. I'll give you an example. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. God speaks to Moses, and he says, I have come down to deliver my people from the power of the Egyptians. Israel was in bondage. They were slaves. They couldn't get out of Egypt. God says, I have come to deliver you. So the whole idea is that God delivers us from something we couldn't deliver ourselves from. Look at our text. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, talks about that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. What does that mean? It means that I and you were born into subjection to darkness, and we could not deliver ourselves. I can't deliver myself as a lost man from darkness. I can't deliver myself from the principle of sin, and neither can you. God has to do that, and that's what being saved is all about. Here's what the Bible is saying. When somebody is saved, to be saved means that I am delivered from something that was dangerous to my mortal soul. That's what it means. Look at the truth in your outline. Real salvation is a work of deliverance by God that is done for you. So let me just kind of bring that down to where we live. How can you tell if somebody is a Christian? You say, well, you're not supposed to judge anybody. No. You know, God just says simply by their fruits you'll know them. But here's the deal. How do I know that somebody's a Christian? Now listen, I'm not a Christian because I said a prayer sometime. I'm not a believer. I'm not a Christian because I went forward during some worship service and I had some kind of emotional event that took place. And you know, and I walked the aisle and I talked to a pastor. No, that's not it. I'm not saved because I felt really bad about something that I had done, which was bad in my eyes, and I just felt really bad about that, and I called out to God, and I said, God, this is just wrong. I'm not saved because of any of that. That's not what he means. Look at the truth in your outline. Salvation is evidenced by the work of the Holy Spirit of God doing what? Delivering a man or a woman out of damning realities in their life. So let me just state to you what I just said. All right, here it is. For any of us to know that somebody, my husband, my wife, you know, your husband, a child, a son, a daughter, whatever. How can I know that when I die, I can go to my grave in peace that my boys, my two sons, are going to come to heaven? How can I go to my grave with peace in my heart that my grandkids, that I get some kind of peace in my heart, that they're going to come to heaven when they die? How can I know that before my deathbed? For any of us to know that somebody is really born again, I have to be able to see that my sons, that my grandchildren have been what? Delivered. Delivered. Because that's what it means to be saved. Whenever you see the term saved, what you're saying is delivered. Well, I've been saved. What are you saying? I have been delivered. That's what being saved means. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, he said, let me tell you what's going to happen in the future. As God, he's told us, he said, many will say to me on the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and we've done that in your name? And he says, I will say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I have what? Never known you. Not that I knew you and you sinned and you lost your salvation. There's a Greek word for that. It's called hogwash. You don't lose your salvation. You don't do that. John said, they went out from us that it might be shown that they did not belong to us, because if they belonged to us, they would never have left us. Listen, when you belong, you don't leave. Salvation is not lost. Once you get it, it's got you. Why? Because to be saved means to be delivered. That is what it means. And there are people in every generation who think that they're going to heaven, and they're not. Why? Because they're a Baptist. Because they're a Church of Christ. You know, we've got the corner on truth. I'm not saying just for Church of Christ. Baptists believe they do too. And Pentecostals and Catholics. You know, I'm going to go to heaven. Why? Because I'm a good Catholic. And I take communion. And I'm a member of the church. And I was baptized when I was an infant. Doesn't mean anything. Means nothing. None of that does. Why? Because being saved doesn't mean to be baptized. It doesn't mean to be a church member. It means to be what? It means to be what? This is where you answer. Delivered. Right. It's the only time you talk during the sermon. Right? Only when I ask. But that's what being saved means. They may believe in Jesus. They may hold the Bible doctrine. They may work in His name. But the evidence that they're saved is they are delivered. Listen to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Let me tell you what God's just told us. Look at the reality in your outline. The evidence of real salvation is your life. The evidence of my salvation is not that I can go back and say, this is when I walk the aisle. The evidence of my salvation is not the fact I'm Baptist. The evidence of my salvation is not, well, I'm Catholic. I'm Church of Christ. You know, whatever. No, no, no. The evidence of my salvation is what? It's my life. You look at my life. My life tells you I am either saved or I'm not. That's what tells you. That's how you know. You look at your life. So look in your outline. The Bible says real Christians are not known by an event, but that the fact that they are manifestly delivered from one way of life to another. That's what it means. All right? So let me tell you the two things that we're delivered from. All right? Point number two. Delivered from error to truth. That's what it means to be born again. Now, our text is talking about true believers in Colossians chapter 1. That there was a time in our life who were really born again. There was a time in our life we were unqualified. We were unworthy of heaven. But we became accepted by God. How did that happen? We became accepted through our looking only to Jesus Christ. And when I looked only to Jesus and what He did for me on the cross, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore now being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's what God has just said. God has said there came a time when He did something in heaven. Outside of Christ, I am at war with God. God is at war with me. God is my enemy. And if I stand before Him outside of Christ, God will cast me into hell because He's going to cast me away from Him. I am a sinner. I have sinned in His world and in His universe. And the wages of sin is death. But when I look to Jesus Christ, God does something. When I look only at Jesus, when I see Jesus as my only hope, my only answer, not Jesus plus membership, not Jesus plus baptism, not Jesus plus anything, just Jesus and Jesus only, God says, because you have honored my Son, I will declare you righteous. It happens in heaven. You may not even feel it. But all of a sudden, there is an attitude change between God toward you. God becomes your Father. And He says, I love you, and I've got a plan for you. I will watch over you. I will keep you. I will guard you. I will guide you. My attitude toward you has changed. Why? Because of you have looked to my Son. And when you look at my Son, When you honor him who suffered for you, who died for you, who was the son of my love, when you honor him, I will change my attitude toward you, because there is nothing you can do to change your own life. And that is when we are changed. That's when the change takes place. And it says, he qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And the word light is a metaphor for truth. Well, how did I come in? Where did I come from into truth? He says in verse 13, he delivered us out of the domain of darkness, which is another metaphor, and that one is for error. Listen, when I come to Jesus Christ, when God speaks to my mind and I understand what truth is, and I flee to Christ as my only hope in his death on the cross, God delivers me. He delivers me from the error that I can save myself, that I can somehow make heaven, that baptism will save me, that membership in a church will save me, that I can do anything on my own, that I could ever become good enough to God, that God would receive me. When I turn from that error and I turn to truth, that Jesus is my only hope, that is the first sign of being born again. That is when I have passed from death to life. The truth in your outline. The first sign of a true Christian is deliverance from error to truth regarding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My whole attitude about Jesus changes. I see him that he is the true God. He is God the Son of the Holy Trinity. He revealed himself in the incarnation as the second person of the Trinity, born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. He died substitutionally for me. He died in my place on the cross. He rose from the grave in literal resurrection, ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit back to live into me and to change me so that I could hear from the Father and be guided by the Father through the Holy Spirit. He reigns with the Father at his right hand. He intercedes for us, and someday he's coming back to establish his eternal kingdom. That is the foundation upon which salvation rests, and nobody is saved apart from understanding that. Now, you may not be on a seminary level of understanding, but that is the truth at the core that you know is true. You believe it. You embrace it. You love it. Everything in your life that you hope for heaven is in Jesus Christ. And that's why we worship him on Sunday, right? Because he is the answer for our life. If I don't believe that, if I don't believe that Jesus is Lord, that he is the eternal God without beginning or end, sovereign and master and the sinless one, then I've never been born again. I don't know the truth. Because to be saved is first of all to be delivered from error to truth. And then thirdly, to be saved means to be delivered from sin to righteousness. Now let me give you a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 6 verse 17 says this: thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you have been freed from sin and became slaves of righteousness. Now watch this. He said, thanks be to God that there came a time in your life when you realized you were a slave of sin. What does it mean to be a slave? It means you don't do what you want to do. You do what your master tells you to do. You do what you do because you're in bondage. When I am lost, I sin because that's what sinners do. I live a sinful life because that's what I am. I am the way I am because I am a sinner. But there comes a time when I come to faith in Christ, Romans 6:18, having been freed from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. There came a time where you used to find satisfaction and delight in just doing wrong. I can remember that time in my life. I enjoyed sinning. There was sin in my life. All of us, when we were outside of Christ, we had a particular sin bend. That's why, you know, we talk about when it comes to homosexuality or transgenderism. Listen, that is just another form of the way sin is revealing itself. God did not make people that way. That is a way of sin in our life. And when we come to faith in Christ, He delivers us. It does not mean, and this is where people get so confused. Well, I can't help myself. This is the way I'm. No. Listen, even as a child of God, my old sin pattern tries to come back into my life. Why? Because that's, listen, I've got a sin pattern in my life that used to dominate me. It always tries to come back in. But I am no longer that way. But it's in this body. My body has not been saved, only my soul. At my core, I'm different. I'm different. I'm not the same. But I still have some of the old desires of when I was lost. That hasn't changed. And it won't change until I die. And then that's when the power of sin is destroyed forever. But all of my life as a follower of Christ, I stand against and I make a decision to not go the old way. Why? Because that way of life lures me, but I can never enjoy it. Why? Because I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed. I can do it, but I'm not going to enjoy it. God's going to be all over me like white on rice. I'm going to be convicted. God's going to take joy from me. God's going to whip me. God's going to discipline me. And besides that, at my core, the Holy Spirit is grief. I can't enjoy sinning anymore. I'm ruined. I'm messed up. Yay! That's a sign I'm born again. I can't go that way anymore. And when people say, this is the way God made me, I say, no, it's not. It's your sin bend. And in Christ, God can give you a new heart. It doesn't mean all of a sudden, as a homosexual man, you're never going to have a desire sexually for another man. That'll never go away. It'll never stop. But that becomes the old you. Does that make sense? It's the old you. It's not you in Christ. We are made new creatures in Christ. And now we can say no to that because God said that is a sinful way of living. God made us male and female. That's God's plan. That's what He did. God did not make us gay. That's not Bible. And that's the reason why we have the arguments in America, because we believe in objective truth. Well, I don't need to chase that dog anymore. When once you found satisfaction in Christ, you can't get joy in sinful living anymore. Now somebody says, well, my husband is a professing Christian. And while we were dating, he would go to church with me. He even made a profession of faith and was baptized, although he wasn't a Christian when I started dating him. And we would go. But then when we got married, I don't know what happened. He quit. He has no desire for church. He has no desire for worship. I can't get him to go. He doesn't care if our children go or not. He doesn't encourage them to go with me. And now I found out that my husband has been running around on me. He's seeing another woman. And I just don't understand. How does a Christian do that? Answer, they can't and be happy about it. It doesn't mean a Christian can't sin. But when a man can live that kind of life and it doesn't break him, it doesn't grieve him, it doesn't work on him, the reason he can do it is because he's never been born again. It's the old man. There's no change. He's still the way he's always been. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we children of God. How do I know I'm a child of God? Verse 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness because lawlessness is sin. But Christ appeared to take away our sins. The sign that I'm born again is that I just don't sin the way that I used to. My life has changed. 1 John 3:6, no one who abides in Christ sins. Now that's present tense. It doesn't mean if I'm a Christian, I don't sin at all. That's not what it's saying. As a Christian, I don't live a continuous pattern of sin if I'm born again. I may sin, but I come under conviction. I repent. I turn from that. I start walking with God again. I may wander off the path. God will convict me. I repent. I come back because I am born again. Being a Christian doesn't mean we're sinless, right? 1 John 1:9, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth isn't in you. But true Christians don't live a life of sin day after day after day. People will say all the time, I know that they're living like this, they're doing wrong, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, but I just know that they're Christians, Pastor, because I remember when they went forward. I remembered their tears. I saw their baptism. Look at the last truth in your outline. Real Christians don't live in a continuous pattern of sin. It's not sinless perfection. We don't get that down here. But we are fundamentally changed. If I am born again, if your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your friend, if they are born again, there is the evidence of a struggle inside of them. They struggle to say no to sin in their life. That's the sign of being born again. Now I want you to bow your heads for just a moment, would you please? Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to just come to the front and pray with me. I want to pray with you. I want to pray over you. That maybe you're saying this morning, I need to reevaluate my life. This message has rocked me. I understand that being a Christian doesn't mean sinless perfection. But I have to say that there is no evidence in me that there's ever really been a break from a sinful way of life. The things of the Lord don't have a hold on me. I'm here this morning, not out of habit. I'm just here because I'm here. Because I thought I was a Christian. But I've got real concern about that. And you just want to come and say, I want to be settled. I want to know that I'm born again. I don't want to live a life of somebody who thinks they're going to heaven and they're not. Where is the evidence of change in your life? Maybe you've got a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife, and there's no evidence of change with them. Anything they do with regards to church is just old form habit. But there's no real change. And this morning, they need somebody praying for them. And maybe just in your heart, you want to bring a husband, a wife, a son, or a daughter. You just want to bring them before the Lord. You just want to come. We're going to hold them up and we're going to pray for them to have their eyes open and to see the truth about their relationship with God or the lack of that relationship. And I'm going to ask you to come. Maybe there's someone here this morning. You just want to come and say, God, I want you to save me. I want to be born again. I want to be changed at my core because I just feel in my heart there's never been that change. I'm not changed. And God, you've shown me the truth. And I want to ask you to come. Would you stand quietly and reverently? Just begin to make your way to the front. You want to come maybe bringing either yourself.